Connor O'Malley is a young boy facing the most difficult challenges life can bring. In addition to the constant bullying and beatings he receives at school, in addition to the brokenness in his family, a father that has deserted him and a grandmother who is cold and distant, Connor O'Malley spends every single day watching his mother die. This 11-year-old boy's struggle. He brings her meds every day. He tends to the house, all while he wrestles with the reality of her impending death. And as everything begins to move faster, as potential cures fail one after another, as his mother is incapable of living outside of the hospital, as he has to go and live with a grandmother he barely knows, a monster calls upon young Connor O'Malley. And as scary and challenging as his daily life is, this monster is not at all frightening. In fact, his moments with the monster are almost a reprieve from the ghoulish reality he lives in every single day. This monster is as gentle as he is imposing. A giant tree come to life, unrooting himself from the hillside near Connor O'Malley's home, appearing at the same time each and every night, not to scare or antagonize, but to tell stories. When he first appears, the monster tells Connor O'Malley that he will visit him 4 times. The first 3 visits will be marked by a story from the monster. The 4th visit will require young Connor O'Malley to tell a story of his own, requiring young Connor O'Malley to tell the monster his truth, his story. Each of these first 3 visits brings stories that just utterly perplex Connor O'Malley. One is of a young prince adored by his people, but who is secretly a conniving, murderous wretch. The 2nd story is of an invisible man who only becomes more lonely when he is made visible. The 3rd about a young parson who is faithless and an old healer who actually has value and moral. Each of these little tales within the movie are worthy of being heard in their entirety, and I will not try to cram them in and minimize their value. I will tell you that each and every story applies not only to specific aspects of Connor O'Malley's journey day to day, but together, each of the stories form a broader narrative that can only be understood when young Connor O'Malley discovers his own truth. I'm deeply grateful to my good friend Ben, who happens to be the managing editor of a movie review site, for commending this movie to me. It would not have been a movie I would have found on my own, and chances are it is a movie many of you have not seen. I commend to you A Monster Calls. It is not a horror film. Don't let the monster in the title dissuade you. It is a heavy film. It is a very real film. It is a movie that addresses topics that are sometimes hard to handle without a story to reference. Terminal illness, the death of a young parent, the struggle of a child who's beaten up every single day at school, these are uncomfortable topics. And they only get more uncomfortable when you dig into the truths that are beneath them. To be reminded that life is uncertain, that control is an illusion, that sometimes people make horrible decisions that hurt others. These are difficult things to wrestle with. Now, whether it's the specific presentation of these truths shown in the movie that resonates with you, your own personal encounters that might parallel or mirror these things, they are some of the most difficult aspects of life, and we all encounter them in different ways. And that is the gift of storytelling. Storytelling lets us engage these topics at a safe distance, because we can turn the movie off. We can close the book. We can ask the storyteller to take a break. Storytelling gives us a safe distance because we have full control of the stories that can point to control, the fact that control is an illusion. We get to decide the ways we encounter tales of decisions that are not our own. They let us be certain of how and when we will hear stories of uncertainty. Storytelling lets us engage topics of great weight and truth from a safe distance. We can get into the stuff without automatically getting into our stuff first. And A Monster Calls does this in its many great layers. For it is a movie that addresses topics that are hard to handle. About a boy who's dealing with topics that are hard to handle. It tells us a story of a young man who finds healing through story. The monster's role in Connor O'Malley's life is the same role as this movie can play in our lives. But this individual movie, and even other deeply powerful movies, are not our only resource to find stories when life gets hard. I did some math a little while back. It turns out I have preached approximately 800 unique sermons, not including weddings or funerals, so far in my career. There may be 5 or 6 that I have preached a second time to a different audience. I estimate I have another 1,500 unique sermons to write before I retire. And I cherish the opportunity each and every one will bring. Often people will say, how do you find stuff to talk about? I'm like, oh, there is so much to talk about. And I don't think I say this often enough. I absolutely love our scriptures. I do. I love our scriptures. Now, I also get frustrated by them. I often get confused by them. I have gotten into arguments with some, I have walked away from some, and I have returned to some. My relationship with our scriptures is complicated. But that's because life is complicated, and since our scriptures address life, they end up being complicated too. And that is why I love them. Our scriptures address topics that are sometimes hard to handle without a story to reference. The uncertainty of life, brokenness in relationship, failure, fear, and faith, it's all in here. The difficulty of growth, the struggle to know who we are, worry, anxiety, disappointment, it's in here. These are our stories. When we're being called to challenging work, perhaps being a voice of justice in a world of systems that breed inequality, when we're being called to challenging work, the stories of Moses and Esther and Elijah offer us examples of how God equips and supports us. When we're facing loss and grief, the death of a loved one, the crushing of a dream, the complexities of aging, the stories of the people of Israel or David or Lazarus, the crucifixion, they invite us to see that God goes beyond we might think is the end to something more. When we feel inadequate or excluded because a person, a denomination, a society has deemed us not good enough or called us damaged goods or told us we're incompatible, the stories of Samuel and Rahab, the Ethiopian eunuch, the stories of Paul and Mary Magdalene embolden us to claim God's love for us and God's need for us to be exactly who we are. When we are so angry that thoughts of violence creep into our minds, when we have screwed up so badly that everything is falling apart and it's all on us, when we desperately want to feel God's love and seek it and find nothing. When we're so fraught with grief that we cannot breathe. Our scriptures create a space for us to feel that way. Our scriptures create a space for us to be that way. Our scriptures create a space for us to react and to wonder and to learn. But the stories of our scriptures will only reveal truth to us if we engage them. We have to open them. We have to look at them. We have to ask questions. We have to realize for them to be our stories, we need to make them ours. You know, Connor O'Malley resists the stories that will bring him this release of pain that he lives in. I mean, to set the scene for you, there is a 60-foot tall tree monster telling him to listen, and Connor O'Malley's like, no, thank you. I don't know who else can get your attention in life. A 60-foot tall tree monster telling him to listen, and Connor O'Malley doesn't think there is anything of merit to be told to him. You know, when we're in the midst of pain, when we are overcome by life, there are times we would not believe anyone or any story could understand us or what we're dealing with. We just can't believe it sometimes. At the end of the film, it's time for Connor O'Malley to speak his truth, to tell his story, a story that lives itself out every single night in his nightmares. Every night he has this vision. He's with his mother in a cemetery, and suddenly the ground starts to shake, and the ground opens up, and she begins to fall, and as she's about to fall, he grabs her by the hand, and he's clinging as desperately as he can, and every night in this nightmare, her hand slips from his right as he wakes up in a panic and tears. As the monster calls upon Connor O'Malley that final visit, Connor relives this horrible moment and is forced to explain it to the monster. He doesn't want to. He pushes back. He refuses. And Connor O'Malley's obstinance brings forth a rage in the monster that puts his very life at risk. And when he finally breaks down in tears, crying out, he tells the monster that his truth is that she's not slipping away. He's letting his mother's hand go. She's not slipping. He wants her to go. He wants it to be finished. He can't stand knowing that she'll be gone, but he wants her to die. This is the truth that he's carried within him as he has tended to her sickness every day. This is the truth he was living as he watched her wither away, hearing false promises of healing. This is what he could not bring himself to name. It's what haunted his dreams, and it scared him to a core in a way that a monster never could. And though momentarily devastating, the relief he finds in speaking it, even though it's more unfathomable than the abyss he stared into, he finds a relief because he's named it. But he's not done discovering the truth of his story. Because for as true as his desire for her to die may be, he just as truly doesn't want her to die. The thought of his mother being gone is his greatest pain, and he is confounded by this contradiction. And this is where the parables the monster told throughout the movie begin their deeper work. The monster questions Connor O'Malley, asking him to reconcile the contradiction within the tales that he told. How could this and this and this and this? You've heard these stories. How could any of these stories be? And Connor looks up and admits that, I never really understood any of your stories. And the chuckling monster nods knowingly, yes, because humans are complicated beasts. That we are. We are a mess of contradictions and competing realities. We are complicated, and so are the lives that we live. And that is why we need stories that are just as dynamic and real. We need stories that are just as gritty and challenging. We need stories that are just as human as we are. And that's why I love our scriptures. So I don't know what you're doing next Sunday, or the Sunday after that, or any of the next 1,500 Sundays. But I'd like to visit you again to tell you a story as you prepare to recognize and acknowledge your own truth. But you know, the thing is, you don't need to wait for me to bring these stories to you. You simply can call upon them on your own. Amen.